It's apparent that the United States is falling apart. The question now becomes, what will replace it? Will it be an authoritarian dictatorship, a socialist experiment, a breakup into smaller nations, or something else? That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host, the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, be sure to like and subscribe to this channel. I really appreciate it. We're continuing to grow, both on the podcast platforms and on the various video platforms we're on. We're on YouTube. We're on Odyssey. We stream live on Facebook and Twitter, and I think Float as well. And we're on all the major podcast platforms, of course. So please join us there. And like I said, and subscribe to us wherever you listen to us, wherever you watch us. Also, only twice a year does Crisis Magazine really do a push for donations. We're completely donor supported. And so we do depend upon you to continue doing what we're doing here. So if you like what we're doing, first of all, we mostly appreciate your prayers more than anything else. And we also do appreciate if you can financially donate. May is one of the two times a year that we do ask for donations. And so since it's May, I thought I would go ahead and ask and say, if you're interested, please donate to Crisis Magazine. You can find out about how to do that at www.crisismagazine.com/support, where you can support us by online, a check, cryptocurrency. If you have money, we have a way to take it. So we just really appreciate that. And we won't do a big ask again until I think like November or December, something like that. And I, by the way, I appreciate we've had a very good month for donations so far. And so I do appreciate all those who have already donated this month. We really do. We can't do what we're doing here without that. So thank you. Okay. Now, before I get started, what I really want to say is, first of all, my apology for not having any podcast, anything last week. I came down, I got sick. Like I joked on Twitter, I should give my medical diagnosis and explain why we should change all policies in this country because of my little cold. But I had a problem in my throat, and so I couldn't really talk. I had to cancel an interview. I couldn't do my live one, and I'm still recovering from it. You might be able to tell my voice is a little bit different. So I apologize in advance, too, if I get into a coughing fit or I have to take a drink or something like that to continue. Hopefully it won't be a problem, but just in case it does happen to be a problem, my apologies in advance. So today we're talking about the end of America. What an uplifting topic for your May 17th, 2022. But I think it's a topic on a lot of people's minds. And I know it is, actually, because I've had a number of conversations in recent weeks with friends of different age groups too. Friends of my adult kids, as well as people older than me, same age as me, different ages, in which the topic has come up that people are expecting the country as we know it, America as we know it, to basically end soon. And by soon, we don't really know. Next week, next year, a decade from now, 20 years from now, nobody really knows. And what we mean by this, the country as we know it, it's not necessarily that the United States of America as an entity will end, but as we've known it for the past couple hundred years, but particularly in the past maybe 50 years, that's going to end. Now, the people I talk to are mostly patriotic people. They're very pro-America. They don't want the country to end. They're not advocating for that. They just simply think that's what's going to happen. And so a lot of people are asking themselves, well, what comes next? What can we do to make sure whatever comes next is better than what we're falling into, or at least as good as what we used to have? And so that's what I want to talk about here. First of all, I really want to talk about why it is that so many people are seeing this as the end of our nation. I mean, we've seen bad times before. People who are older than I know about in the 1960s, a lot of things were happening that made it look like we were in for some rough times. And I think the things that happened in the 1960s actually are the precursor in a lot of ways to the end of this nation as we know it, because of the sexual revolution, the rejection of all authority. A lot of things that happened in the 1960s did start the process, or at least accelerate the process of our country falling down and collapsing. I think there's a number of things right now, though, that are really bringing it to the fore. One is the obvious one, which is COVID. COVID, let's blame everything on COVID. COVID really, though, has exposed fault lines in our country. And it's exposed also that there are people in power who are very willing to use that power to control you and to destroy your life without any consequences to themselves. We saw that with the COVID regime, the willingness of our leaders to basically destroy our lives for a big nothing burger. Yes, I know people died from COVID. I have a friend who died from COVID. I know people got very sick from COVID. I got sick from COVID. But people die and get sick all the time from the flu and from other diseases, from cancer. We don't shut down the country because of that. Yet that's what we did in this case. And I think it really revealed to people that the people in Washington or in your state capital, they're not your friend. They're not working for you. They're not representing you. They will destroy your lives like that if it fosters what they want, if it gives them what they want, if it makes them feel more powerful. And so a lot of people are like, that is very scary, and they don't want to be ruled like that. And there was a video I saw on Twitter. My friend Kennedy Hall, who's been on the show here a few times, friend of the program, Kennedy Hall, he shared a video of Jesse Kelly, who is a conservative commentator. I don't really know him that well, to be honest. I've heard of him. I've seen him like on Twitter a few times, but he's a conservative commentator. And he was on the Glenn Beck program, and something about this video, it went viral and it really struck me when we're talking about the end of this country, because there's this anger that is building up among regular people, people who don't want to be angry, people who don't want to be upset, and they just want to live their lives without people bothering them. They want to raise their kids with the values they believe in. And they want to hand on to their kids the country they feel like they grew up with. And there's this anger building in them that that's not going to happen. And that COVID's a big reason for it. I want to show this video to you, and you can listen to it if you're just listening here, because he's just speaking to Glenn Beck. Because I think it really represents something here. Here, I'll go ahead and play it now.
Yeah, I would have said, yeah, that happens. But that doesn't happen here in America. But all right, here's actually an example that's going to sound off the wall, but I really mean this. We have an epidemic of especially teenage girl suicides. Everyone knows the numbers by now. Yeah. It went up 50% because of the COVID lockdown idiocy. 50%. All right, now we use a number like that, and what it does is it's not very human, right? It doesn't personalize something. But to bring this home, somebody, a mother and father, just had Christmas, 4 or 5 months ago? And their baby girl wasn't there opening Christmas presents. And they didn't sit there and read Bible stories and celebrate that day. They sat and wept because their baby girl's gone. We just found out the Center for Disease Control, who was issuing the guidance to the schools that the schools followed, they did that on behalf of the teachers' unions. The teachers' unions gave our Center for Disease Control school guidance. The Center for Disease Control followed that political guidance, and teenage girls killed themselves. Not one person in power in the United States of America, not one, is calling for arrests and trials and prison time for anyone at the CDC. The most extreme you'll get is, well, someone should resign. Maybe Trump will get elected and fire somebody. Firings? Teenage girls are dead. Teenage girls are dead for political reasons. I don't want to ever hear about firings again. Public trials on television live so we, the American people, can witness what was done and then Leavenworth for the next 50 years of your life. Or there's nothing worth saving.
I mean, I found that very striking, and it really touched a nerve with me. I think it touched a nerve with a lot of people because there's an obvious anger there. And it's a justifiable anger. If your teenage daughter killed herself because of what some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. named Anthony Fauci or one of his minions said we had to do, which we didn't have to do, and we all know now we didn't have to do, then clearly you are going to be justifiably angry. And you don't want and you continue to see these people in power on the Sunday morning talk shows, going through the circuit, being praised, acting like they're still heroes, never apologizing for what they did, then clearly you're going to be very upset. You're going to be very upset with what's going on with this country. And so that's one factor, and I think that is causing the end of America. because people are just tired of what America has become and they want it to end. Another thing is the economy. The economy, we have rampant inflation, way worse than what they officially tell us. We're having shortages of, for example, baby formula is the latest thing, but that's like a game of whack-a-mole. It's like, we're going to have a shortage of this today. We're going to have a shortage of that tomorrow. We're going to have a shortage here. We're going to have a shortage there. We're going to have a shortage everywhere. And in America, that's not supposed to happen. We're the greatest nation in the world, right? We shouldn't have this happen to us, but yet it is. And what's happening is our economy, the weaknesses in our economy are being exposed. We've inflated the dollar for decades, but particularly in the last 13 years, 14 years since 2008, and then in the last 2 years again. So the U.S. dollar is becoming worthless. We're having a situation where we're so dependent upon other countries for our most basic needs. We can't do anything without getting it from China anymore. And so our economy is going under, and that's really starting to hit. People are really starting to feel it now. It's not just something where we talk about it, but it happens when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the gas station, when you go to buy, I had to buy a used car recently. That's ridiculous at this point. And more importantly, nothing is being done. It's not like all of a sudden there's a plan being presented by President Biden that, hey, we're doing this. It's going to take care of it. No, they don't even acknowledge it's a problem usually. Or they decide on things that actually make it worse. So it's like, we have a baby formula shortage. Let's close down some more baby formula factories. I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing. And so people, there's a great anger happening with that. But the economy, and so what's happening is people are really, when all of a sudden you can't feed your kids, that changes everything. That is, as they say, a game changer when you can't feed your own kids. And you start to look for radical solutions. Another factor, I think, that's causing the current unrest, uneasiness among many Americans that this might be the end, is the conflict in Ukraine. Now, it shouldn't be. The fact that Russia invaded a neighboring country should not really have an impact on America directly, but it does. And it mostly does because our idiotic response to it. The government deciding to basically just send a bunch of money we don't have overseas to a conflict that doesn't directly impact us. It's insanity. So a parent can't get baby formula off the shelf, can't buy any baby formula for their kid, but we'll send $40 billion over to Ukraine, which we all know will not go to help suffering Ukrainians. It will go to the military-industrial complex. It will go to corrupt politicians in Ukraine and in the United States. It's not going to really help any, but we'll feel good about ourselves. We'll print more money and we'll send more money over there. The insanity of that is striking, that we have so many problems here at home, economic problems, and we think it's a good idea to just ship $40 billion over to Ukraine for a war that does not directly impact our national interest. That's insanity. And in fact, they were going to pass this without even bothering to act like they read the bill. The Senate was, until Rand Paul, the heroic Rand Paul, stopped it from happening. Now, they're still going to probably pass it. It's just going to take a few more days. So now I guess they can pretend that they actually read the bill. Think about that, though. They're spending $40 billion without even bothering to read it because they know it's a political win for them. They think it's a political win, at least. They can feel good about themselves. They're supporting democracy. They're going against the evil Putin. All that doesn't matter if you can't feed your kid. And really, it's like you have no money. You're destitute on the street. And a guy walks by who's also destitute and you say, hey, I'll go get a loan for $100,000 and give it to you. It's just ridiculous. Of course, you couldn't do that in real life because if you don't have any money, you can't get a $100,000 loan. But the government can give itself, of course, as many loans as they want. And well, the irony is that the loans are coming from China. We're actually getting the loan, the money from China ultimately. And so again, another thing that's just insane. Another factor that I believe is breaking up the country is the Roe decision, the potential that the Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. Because what's going to happen if it happens like the leak says, if Alito's decision stands and it is the majority opinion, then what will happen is we will have a variety of abortion laws in this country. Now, I'll be very honest. I think that's a good thing, a better thing, is probably the best way to put it. It's not a good thing when babies are being killed anywhere, but it's a better thing than our current system in which babies can be killed anywhere at any time in any state. At least some babies will be protected. It will be more difficult for some women to kill their children. That's a good thing. But the left is going insane over this. As well they should, because abortion is their sacrament. It's a sacred thing to them. And so if you take that away from them, it would be like taking away the Eucharist from the people. Oh, wait a minute. That actually happened to Catholics a couple years ago. That's right. The bishops did that to us. It would be like that. You're angry at not being able to go to Mass. That's kind of what the anger of the left is towards not being able to have as many abortions as they want. And so what this does, though, is it starts to separate the states even more. COVID did this big time, where all of a sudden it really was different if you lived in Florida versus if you lived in New York. Before, the differences in the states were mostly cultural. On some level, like just the Midwest, people were nice, whatever. In New York, they're a bunch of jerks. I don't know. I don't live in New York, obviously. But there's difference on taxes. You paid more in taxes in some states than you did in others. Maybe some of the services were different. But ultimately, most people thought of themselves as Americans first, and then Ohioans or New Yorkers or Iowans, whatever, second. Now, however, I think there's a growing sense that, like, for example, in Florida, how DeSantis has done things so much differently, there might actually be a view that you're a Floridian first, then an American. What does a Floridian have in common with a New Yorker or with a Californian? What does a Texan have in common with somebody in Seattle, Washington? Not a lot anymore. And I think what that does, it disintegrates that unity that brings us together as Americans. So something like the Roe decision could further that disintegration of unity among Americans. The final thing I want to make, and I'm not saying these are the only things that are kind of leading to the end, the beginning of the end, so to speak, but these are, I think, the major ones. The final thing I want to bring up is election integrity. Last week at Crisis, we ran a review of the documentary by Dinesh D'Souza, who, by the way, is a former Crisis editor. I don't know if you know that. He was my predecessor many, many years ago, called 2000 Mules. And it purports, I will be honest, I have not seen the documentary yet. I do plan to see it. But we had somebody run who did see it, write an article basically saying that it shows pretty conclusively that the election was stolen in 2020. The presidential election in 2020 was stolen for Joe Biden, that Trump really likely won. Now, my opinion's always been that it's very plausible that Trump actually won, that it's very possible that happened, but it wasn't proven in a court of law. Now, this documentary supposedly shows it pretty conclusively that it did really happen. The fact is, though, I think it's clear that election integrity is a major factor. In 2016, the liberals were saying Trump didn't really win. They were talking about Russian collusion, things like that, which has been proven isn't true. And now, of course, the right is saying that Trump really won in 2020. And it might be true that's the case. The point is, though, when a country does not trust its elections, when it can't trust that the elections are free and fair, that's the end right there. I mean, that is the end. A country that can't do that, that can't have free and fair elections, and that aren't fraudulent, that's just not, that's just, you don't have a country, a United States of America anymore, if that's the case. If, for example, conservatives thought we will do everything right, we will work hard in the political process, we will get the votes we need, and then we will have enough votes to win and put what we want in place, and then it doesn't happen because the election was stolen, what does that do? It makes you not want to go through the system anymore. It makes you want to end the system. The left thinks that when Trump won, the right thinks it when Biden won. And so that's the end of the American experiment in my mind. What I think ultimately what we're seeing what is undoubtedly an empire in eclipse. I use the word empire very purposefully, I think the American Empire started after World War II. That before that, we before World War II and really before World War I, and definitely before the Civil War, we had a situation where, as a country, we kind of kept to ourselves. We weren't trying to expand more than on our continent. Now we do have an empire across, that spans the globe. NATO is just a part of the American Empire, let's be honest. So when we talk about expanding NATO, we're expanding the American Empire. Because what we're saying is, if you touch this country, this area of the globe, we will attack you, go to war with you. If that's not part of an empire, I mean, that's what the Roman Empire would do. If the barbarians would attack a certain area of the Roman Empire, like England, which actually was kind of a satellite of Britain, I should say, not England. England didn't exist yet. Britain, if barbarians attacked Britain, they did consider that as an attack on the Roman Empire. Now, ultimately, they couldn't defend it because they had expanded too much and they had all these internal problems. And the same thing probably is likely true for America going forward. But if you can't, the American Empire, though, is in decline. There's just no question about it. And I think, for example, the Ukraine-Russian conflict exposes that, because what we're seeing is a realignment of global powers. Since around 1990, there's been what's called a unipolar moment. There's only one power in the world. That's the United States of America. Nobody else could stand up to us. And so we acted like it. We told everybody what to do. We did whatever we wanted to. Nobody could talk back to us. We were the big man on campus. However, what's happened is that China's grown in power. Russia has become more powerful than what they were in the 1990s. India has grown in power. A lot of these countries in the Middle East don't feel like they're obligated to listen to us as well. So what we're seeing is a realignment of global power structures where people don't necessarily have to listen to America. And America doesn't act like that yet. We think, oh, we're just going to sanction Russia, and all of a sudden, that's just going to turn off Russia. But other countries like, okay, we'll do business with you. Russia's like, well, we can do business in other ways without using the dollar. We'll use the ruble. We'll turn over to China. We'll look to China and maybe become allies with them. So these things all show an empire in eclipse. So if that's the case, then what's next? What does that mean for the future for us? I think history shows that when a great nation, by great, I just mean powerful, not necessarily good, when a great nation falls, something worse often replaces it. We see that especially in recent history. For example, Tsarist Russia was a great nation in many ways. Yes, it was backwards and primitive in other ways, but it was a great nation. And it fell when the Tsar was killed and his family were killed in 1917, something worse, far worse came. The Bolsheviks, the Communist Soviet Union. Because what happened is that people were afraid. There was unrest in the country. They couldn't feed their kids. And they looked to anybody who said, I will take care of you. A person does not care about their political views, political philosophy, if they can't feed their kids. What they care about is, who can help me feed my kids? Who can help me take care of my family? Who can keep me safe from being attacked by my neighbors? That's all that matters. Same thing happened in Germany. You have the German Empire that, of course, fell after World War I. The Weimar Republic then, which was just a failure from the beginning. And so then all of a sudden you have the issues of the Great Depression spreading to Germany. And what happens? The rise of Hitler and Nazi Germany. Why? Because Hitler promised, basically, he would take care of you. Yeah, there'd be scapegoats along the way, a little dirty laundry, whatever, but he would take care of you. And it's not that the Germans were these evil people who hated the Jews innately and they wanted an evil leader like Hitler. It's a Hitler was able to exploit their fears, exploit their anger in order to make them basically support something that was horrific. And the same thing with Lenin and Stalin. The same thing happened there. And that's what I think we need to fear the most, is something like that here. You know, Bernie Sanders is our example of a socialist. Bernie Sanders is a nice grandpa compared to what we could get if America ends. Because what we could get, if all of a sudden this unrest continues, where supply chain issues continue, or people aren't being able to feed their kids, they're not able to keep their job, they're not able to protect themselves, all these things continue to happen, people are going to look to a far more radical solution than Bernie Sanders. They're going to look to somebody who's more like Lenin or like Stalin or like Hitler. And here's the thing. History shows that the authoritarians can come from either the right or the left. And so I'm not saying necessarily that it has to come from the left. I just think that's far more likely in America. Why? Because the left dominates all of our systems, the levers of power. So for most importantly, the media. If the media is behind the left authoritarian, he's more likely to succeed. And they're probably not going to be behind a right authoritarian. And so I really think it's very possible that we could have an authoritarian system that comes into place from the left. I don't know why some people think that's not possible, that the left would be authoritarian. I mean, what do you call Stalin? And actually Hitler, in a sense, is also left, because he, you know, the National Socialist is what they were called. He believed in the government basically running everything. And so I think that the thing we most have to fear that could come out of the end of the American experiment is an authoritarian figure from the left. It's not that we can't have one from the right. I just think it's very unlikely that somebody from the right could really exercise an authoritarian power. It's kind of like, that's the joke about Trump, is that they called him this authoritarian, but the very fact that they were able to call him an authoritarian night and day 24/7 means that he wasn't an authoritarian. It's not like he shut CNN down. It's not like he shut down MSNBC or Twitter or anything like that. I mean, the fact that Twitter, as a social media company, could boot him off of their platform while he was a sitting president proves he wasn't authoritarian. So that was just a joke. And that's why I don't think a authoritarian from the right, which is possible in history, I don't think that could happen in this country. I think it's more likely to be a left authoritarian. And I think it's very plausible, because I've noticed one thing with young people. Yes, I'm going to sound like, you know, grandpa, get off my lawn right now. But a lot of young people, they're very frustrated by how things are, and they blame it on capitalism. They blame it on the free market, because they see a lot of problems in our country, and they blame, like, college loans being so much and things like that. And they somehow blame it on the free market. Of course, if you understand how the economy works, you understand it's actually when we go against the free market that these things happen. But they don't know that. And so they're willing to listen to a Bernie Sanders. You see that in the Catholic world as well. Young Catholics who are attracted to a kind of socialism light, they don't want necessarily the evil of it, but they don't understand that it is inherently evil. And so that's a real danger. And I think that's what we have to guard against. Now, what do I think is the best possible scenario? Now, some might say, hey, give me a Catholic monarch. I think somebody in the comments early, before we even got started, talked about, hey, give me a Catholic monarchy. And he volunteered to be that monarch. Well, okay, maybe in your pie in the sky fantasy world, that's possible. Maybe you can be the monarch of your own little neighborhood. I don't know. But that's not happening in America anytime soon. I think the best possible scenario is something I've talked about before on this podcast, I've written about before, and that is the breakup of America, the secession of states or regions from the United States of America, so that there is no United States of America anymore. And I think pushing for a peaceful breakup is actually the best way forward. Now, of course, people, when I talk about secession, they immediately jump back to civil war, racism, violence, war, all that stuff. Of course, it doesn't have to be that way. There's been secessions in other countries in the past that were nonviolent, that were peaceful, had nothing to do with race. I think the same thing could happen here. And so what would happen there is we would allow each region, each state, to plot its own course, to determine its own course. So California can do the craziness they're going to do, but Texas and Florida and Alabama and Arkansas and wherever can go a completely different route. And essentially, it's almost like a free market of nations, that we can decide which way we want to go and which way works. So when California goes under because they go completely woke and crazy, and China ends up taking them over, well, that's just what happens to California. Whereas Texas can grow stronger, Florida can grow stronger, states that are sane can grow stronger, regions that are sane can grow stronger. I think that is the best way forward, frankly, that is the least likely to cause bloodshed. Now, I know secession could very well lead to bloodshed and to violence and to, and you know, maybe an authoritarian would take advantage of that. I don't know. I'm just saying that the most likely scenario in which there would be in areas of this country that would be actually free, would be like the United States of America was supposed to be, I think, is a peaceful breakup of the United States. So that's what I think is the most likely good scenario that could happen out of this. I think there's a lot of bad scenarios that can happen and are more likely, but this is the one that I kind of pray for. Now, no matter what, I think it's clear that tough times are ahead. Because obviously a breakup of this country is not going to go smoothly, as smoothly as I might talk about it here on my podcast. It's going to engender tough times because people wouldn't want to succeed. People wouldn't want to secede from the union unless things were bad. And so therefore, we almost are inevitably facing bad times now, but it's going to get worse. I think we have really tough times ahead. And because of that, I would just urge, and this is my final thing I want to say here, I would urge preparation, spiritual preparation, first and foremost. We have an article of crisis coming out in the next few days about how weak men cause these times like we're in, these bad times. So as Catholics, we need not be weak. We need to be strong. And the way you do that is spiritually. You engage in spiritual practice. You pray every day. You attend, you receive the sacraments regularly. You read the Bible. You fast. Did I mention you fast? That's got to be part of the equation of becoming strong. You are spiritually prepared for tough times. That's what, and you prepare your whole family, especially fathers out there. You prepare your family, your kids, your wife. You make sure you're prepared spiritually for any tough times. And also you prepare physically. You prepare physically when supply chains for things like a baby formula shortage, things like that. You should be prepared for those type of things. We see them already happening. Don't be caught unprepared a year from now when something that you really depend on no longer is available to you or no longer easily or affordable to you. And so I really would urge people to prepare for this. What's next for our country? Nobody really knows, but I think we can prepare for it now, spiritually and physically. We can be ready for it at least as best as possible. And we can pray for the best possible outcome, whatever that might be, in which the most people are free to worship Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church. Because ultimately, that's what we're all striving for, I hope. And that's what we're all aiming for. Okay, I think I'm going to end it there. I know it wasn't exactly an uplifting episode. And hopefully, it might have even got you a little angry, because I think we should be a little bit angry right now. But I think we have to look at these things directly. We have to be honest about them. And like I said already before, we have to be prepared for them. Okay, everybody, until next time, God love you.